Welcome to this sermon from Christ Church. Have your Bible ready, and let's begin.
Amen. Good morning, church. Go ahead and take a seat. And would you bow your head in prayer with me? Father, thank you for this time to be together this morning. Thank you for those who are joining us online, Lord. Thank you that we have this amazing thing where we can still stay connected in times like this. And Father, as we are in a times that none of us have ever been through before, and there's so much uncertainty, Lord, there's so much we don't know, Father, the one thing that we do know is that you are good, that you are the Almighty, that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and what seems impossible to us is possible for you. And so, Father, our hope is in you. You are our rock. And Lord, as a church, as people, Father, we just ask for your blessing for our communities, for our nations, Lord, as so many things are affected by this, the health, people, the economy, all these kinds of things, we ask for your grace to just mediate powerfully. And we pray that you would help us to be bright, shining lights, examples of faith and wisdom and courage and hope that is built on you. And Father, guide us through this in the good name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. Well, good morning, church. It's so good to be with you today. And let's say a big welcome to all those who are tuning in on Facebook. We love you. All those from Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, Taiwan, Parma. That last one's probably the only one that's true. But we're glad that you can stay connected. And obviously, this has been such a crazy, unusual time and such a crazy week. So I want to talk about that today. And I want to talk about how we can find God and find help from God in the midst of storms like this. And as I was thinking about this, one of my favorite people from history is Winston Churchill. And I love reading everything that I can about Winston Churchill. He was just such a tremendous character in many ways, but also just a really impressive leader in a lot of categories. And in May 5th, 1940, the Germans began to blitzkrieg England. So that means they sent all these bombers to England, and they dropped bombs on them, destroyed tons of the city, and as you can imagine, the chaos, the fear, the difficulty of that moment. And what's interesting about Winston Churchill is the day before that happened, he was chosen to be the prime minister. So imagine that, your first day on the job. Your country is being bombed. That's a tough gig, don't you think? That's a little intimidating. That's definitely cause for concern and worry. But here's what's interesting about Winston Churchill. He wrote to his wife that day, and he said this. Come on, baby. There we go. He said, I could discipline the bloody business at last. Now, that's a cool English way of saying, I could finally get to work on this. It sounds a lot better when you say it like that, though. But then look at this. I had no feeling of personal inadequacy or anything of that sort. Isn't that remarkable? So here he is facing this incredible challenge, but he says to his wife, I didn't go in afraid, and I didn't go in second-guessing my ability or my decisions or anything like that. And I stand back, and I'm pretty in awe of that kind of courage and that kind of moment. Now, what's interesting about Winston Churchill is that when he was 16 years old, you can read in letters that he wrote to his good friends where he said, I know I am destined one day to save England. At 16. He was much older than 16 at this point. I believe he was 68. So there was something in him that had this sense of destiny that for all his life, he was prepared for that. And so I could say he went into this storm with an incredible amount of courage and hope and resilience. And because he did, he got through it. Now, when I read about Winston Churchill, I'm like, that's awesome. But I'm not quite like that. I get scared a lot easier. I second guess myself all the time. But today, I want to talk about how each one of us actually have a greater source of strength and courage than Winston Churchill did. As impressive as his is, as amazing that he could draw on that in that time, we actually have something even greater to draw on during this time in the weeks ahead, no matter what they might have. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So we're going to look at a story about Jesus in Mark's gospel. And it's Mark chapter 4, and here's how it goes. It says, on that day, when evening had come, he said to him, this is Jesus, let us go across to the other side. And they were at the Sea of Galilee. So it's a relatively small sea, and they were just going to go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat. So Jesus and the disciples. And other boats were with them. Some other people were following. And then it says, and a great windstorm arose. Now, this area of the world, if you go there today and you go to the Golan Heights, which are just kind of look above this area, you will see all these high wind signs. This area is notorious for tremendous winds that sweep through and they'll kind of mess with cars and stuff today. That's how powerful they are. And they would just turn the lake into a pretty dangerous place. Kind of like Lake Erie. Lake Erie is fairly dangerous in that regard. It's not huge, but because it's shallow and we can get really strong winds, it makes it quite dangerous. And this was a similar thing. And the waves were breaking into the boat. And if you've ever spent a lot of time on boats, when I was a young kid, we went out on a rough day on the lake. I kind of grew up around the water and around boats. And when I was probably about 4 years old, this little boat that we had, it had an open bow on it, you know. So the waves got big, and they started crashing over that into the boat. And I'm not going to lie, I was terrified. I was only 4 years old, don't judge me. But I thought we were going to die. It's a frightening experience, and this is what they were feeling. And so the boat was filling. But this is interesting. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, say this word with me, asleep on the cushion. And there is something that puts you to sleep sometimes on the boat. You know, you ride up and down the swells. It's kind of like you're getting rocked as an adult. All right, nobody's with me on that. And he fell asleep. But they woke him up and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Hey, Jesus, get up. This is scary. We're going to die. And he awoke and rebuked the wind. I don't know what he said, but it must have been pretty cool. He rebuked the wind. And then he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. What a moment that must have been to see. What a moment. And they saw it, and they were in absolute disbelief. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Because they knew Jesus at one level, but they didn't at another. But isn't it interesting that it was the storm that made them know Jesus in a different way? It was the storm that gave them an opportunity to understand Jesus in a way that they did not before. And today, that's what I want to talk to you about today, that great storms bring great grace into our lives. And that as scary and as uncertain as they can be, they bring great grace into our lives. And so there's three aspects of this passage I want to share with you today. I want to talk a bit about storms. I want to talk about the wake up that happens. And then I want to talk to you about the Lord of the storm. So the storm, the wake up, and the Lord. And let's talk about this first part, the storm. My clicker is being real slow today. Here we go. The disciples found themselves in a great storm, and they were filled with great fear. And that's what storms do. And we all face storms in our life. That's part of what happens. And let me just explain a storm a little bit more, because they had obviously a literal thunderstorm, a literal windstorm, but there are storms that come in other ways. They can be psychological. They can be financial. They can be relational. They can be circumstantial. They can be national. They can be concerned around health issues. They can be around all these type of things, but they all have the same effect. That is, they create uncertainty. I don't know what's going to happen. I thought I had more control than I really do. You ever have that realization? Wow, I guess I'm really not as in control as I thought I was. Isn't it amazing this week how much everything about our lives can change in a couple days? Everyone's life. It's remarkable. And sometimes you have to just stand back and say, man, all of this is way more out of my control than I could have ever anticipated. And that's what storms do. They give you that sensation. There's also real dangers in storms. Right? The disciples, the boat was filling. They weren't sure if they'd be able to swim to shore, make it. There was no, Jewish Coast Guard coming. They were out there on their own. It was a tough deal. There's real danger there. Come on, baby. Gail, can you just advance these for me? There's a sense of helplessness. And then if you could go to the next one. There's a loss of control. And then the next slide. And the storm that we're in now, I think, is like that. And it creates understandable fears in our lives. The coronavirus and what's happening, there's some things that stir all of these feelings up. We can just list them up there. There's a concern about maybe our health, our loved one's health, which are real things to be concerned about and real issues. The financial impact, how kind of all these things could impact businesses. And I know we have many small business owners in our church and connected to our church. And all of these are real concerns, how companies might respond and things like that and where it goes. In our community, the hunger and well-being of our kids that are being sent home. We have food programs as a church that give some kids in Elyria and Midview food during the weekends, because we know they rely on school to do that. And so there's going to be a lot of kids in our community that are going to struggle. And the good news is, church, is we're going to try and get our arms around that as best as we can. And because of your generosity, because of you, we're able to do that, and we're going to buy as many food meals as we can and get them out to the community starting this week. So we're really happy about that. But there's a lot to work through there. Figuring out what the next 3 weeks will be like with no school. For some of you parents with young kids, how are we going to survive? The inmates are back. They're running the asylum. What's going to happen? And the uncertainty of what happens next. So this is in many ways, it is a real storm. It is a real storm. And it's something that we have to navigate through. Next slide, please. And then sometimes these external storms can trigger internal storms in our own lives. Have you ever sometimes had something, but then your response to it didn't make sense? It triggered something in you. And then you're like, I responded so poorly, and now I feel guilty about how I responded. And so now not only are you feeling the fear and the panic and the anxiety, but now you're feeling shame and guilt because you're like, why do I have so much fear and anxiety? And it's because it wasn't necessarily the event itself, but it was what it triggered inside of you. And so now you're dealing with fear and anxiety and panic, but you're also dealing with guilt and shame, which is a recipe that's no fun. You with me on this? And, this is what storms do. They confuse us. That we lose sight of ourselves. We lose sight of so many things. And notice this, church. They were with Jesus, and they still found themselves in the storm. If you remember the beginning of the passage, Jesus was the one who said, hey, let's go to the other side. Thank you, Jesus. Now our boat is filling with water. Now we're not sure if we're going to make it. And the thing is that even when you follow God wholeheartedly, God never says, you will avoid every storm if you follow me. In fact, just like the disciples, sometimes following him means going right into one. Sometimes following him means that when he makes our path straight, it's not necessarily easier. Sometimes it's harder. There's a great proverb, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Like, gosh, that is a beautiful promise. And it is. But sometimes a straighter path is a more difficult one. If you've ever hiked up a mountain, the paths up mountains aren't straight. They're switchbacks. They go like this. And so sometimes when the Lord makes your path straight, it's into a storm. But there's a purpose to it. And then one of the greatest challenges of a storm is when you feel like you're perishing and God is sleeping. That's the disciples in this moment. Lord, how are you asleep right now? Wake up! We're dying! How can you be napping right now? And sometimes in our lives, when we face difficult moments, it can feel like God is absent. God is silent. God is not doing anything. God is not at work. But what we see here is God is at work in a totally different way. Jesus wasn't asleep because he didn't care. He was asleep because nothing is outside of his power. Here's what's so beautiful about this. Have you ever had maybe your spouse wake you up in the middle of the night and they're like, oh, I heard something, or, you know, you got to go check it out. And you're just like, babe, I'm going back to sleep. It's good to go. It's not because you don't care. It's because you know it's the cat climbing on the counter. And that it's not Freddy Krueger or Jason coming in to wipe you out. And this is Jesus. He's saying, listen, I'm not asleep because I don't care. I'm asleep because this storm doesn't matter. I'm asleep because this storm is nothing compared to the power that's within me. That's pretty cool. So yeah, I'll take a nap right now. It's good. I got this. I'm in control. I know this storm seems crazy, but I'm still in control. And so let's talk about the wake up that happens here. Now they do obviously wake Jesus up and they call on his help. And sometimes when we are in a storm, that is one of the best things that we can do is we wake God up with prayer and with faith and with a desperate call for help. One of the things that I've found in my life is that God's timing is often in unison with my faith. Here's what I mean by that. That many times I see God's help in my life most clearly when I'm asking for it. When I'm really looking for him to help me. When I'm really just saying, God, I can't go through this without you. And those are often the times where his hand is most clearly in my life. I believe God is helping us all the time, whether we see it or not. But one of the ways that God wants to bless you and bless me is by helping us to see that he really hears, he really answers, and he's really at work, and he's really good. And so we can wake him up with prayer. I also want to be woken up in these storms and in this particular storm to find some of the blessings that are in it. There's always blessings in storms. There really is. They're packaged differently. But could I just suggest to you, in these next couple of weeks, what some of these blessings might be in our lives, even amidst this storm that we're in? Here's the first one. There's an opportunity, and this is a blessing, to grow in grace by giving charity to people who respond to this differently than you. Right? Some people, they bought 8,000 pounds of toilet paper. Right? They got it chained up. It's booby-trapped. There's dynamite. There are some people that their response is not going to make sense to you. And you're going to want to be like, okay, crazy. But you know what? I think we should give them grace instead. Give them grace. Everybody responds different. Everyone's experiences are different, church. Sometimes it's not what's happening, like I said. It's what this triggers in their life. And so sometimes people's response is really not about what's happening, but it's about what has happened at other times in their life, and now this is bringing it up. So, yeah, it doesn't make sense, but coming down on them is not really going to be helpful. You with me on this? This is a time for us to be as gracious as we can to each other. This is a time for God to unite us, not to continue to build walls. Right? This is a time to not get in political fights with people, to not, you know, the small things that we've let divide us so easily. It's a time to just kind of wash that stuff away and say, hey, let's be one team and one fight in this. And let's be gracious to each other. Right? People who are more concerned and more hyper-vigilant, then we'll look at people who seem less concerned, and they might be willing to judge them. And let's not do that either. You with me on this? Let's give grace. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to grow in that. It's an opportunity to rest. My suspicion is that life is going to get a little slower. You share that same suspicion? That kind of things are, everything's getting canceled, right? My gym got canceled. I was in a good rhythm, church. It took me a year to get in a good rhythm. The devil's real. I'm just kidding. Well, I'm not kidding about that. But anyway, it's an opportunity to rest. Maybe for some of us, this is a time for God to just kind of reset us a little bit and take a break from the chaos of what modern life is sometimes. And let's take advantage of it. Church, it's also an opportunity to reconnect with that downtime, with kind of a lot of limiting of social interactions and things like that. It's an opportunity to reconnect with the things that are most important. God. You might have more time to pray and read the scriptures than you've had in a while. Take advantage of that. Pastor, I'll be binging Netflix. The next three, Pastor, I'm going to get caught up on everything. Why don't you get caught up on the scriptures? Get caught up on prayer. Get caught up with your family. Reconnect. Maybe meet the people that live close to you. I don't know. Y'all look at me like I'm crazy. It's an opportunity to reprioritize. I think storms always remind us of what is most important in life, don't they? And the greater the storm, the greater clarity that it brings. Right, when tough times come, you're thinking about your loved ones, you're thinking about your relationship with God. And you know what my prayer is? Maybe this will be a spiritual awakening for a lot of people. Say, you know what? So much life is really, really fragile. It's real fragile. And at the end of the day, what matters is our connection to God and to Christ. And it's an opportunity again to invest in the good things in our life, in our relationship with God, in our relationship with others. And I would challenge you to find the blessing in those things. And then here, oh yeah, it's an opportunity for us to pray, kind of as a church, to lead the way and pray for our nation and say, God, would you just kind of prevent this? Would you help people? Would you fill people with peace and well-being? Would you create a spiritual hunger? We could pray for that. We want to serve in every way that we can. You know what's beautiful about the Church of Jesus Christ is that all through the centuries, no matter what difficulty they face, they've always been at the front lines. They've always been at the front lines. When there were plagues breaking out, it was followers of Jesus that were ministering to those in need. And, you know, I think as God opens us opportunity to serve, we need to lean into that and help as much as we can. And it's an opportunity to focus on the majesty of Jesus Christ and not the majesty of fear. It's an opportunity to focus. Here's what these disciples didn't know about Christ. That storm was nothing compared to who he is. Here's what you and I need to know today. This storm is nothing compared to who Jesus Christ is. The things that we have to face going forward pale in comparison to the majesty of Jesus Christ. That's why he was asleep. Wasn't worried about it. And we can trust in that. And so the real wake up in this passage is not for God. It's for us. The Lord wasn't sitting on his throne and like, what's happening down there? Holy snap. What? I don't know. I don't know what that is. He's not surprised. He's not thrown off by this, right, church? He's God. He's still in control. We're not. We never were. And so the wake up, the real wake up that needs to happen, and I think the real purpose of every storm, is that when you go through it, you see Christ differently. And church, that's the best thing that can happen to us during this time, is that you see the goodness, the majesty, the power, and the beauty of Christ in a beautiful way. You with me on this? That's the most important wake up that we can see. Because the Lord of the storm, can you just imagine that moment? Jesus gets up out of the little cuddy cabin there, and he comes out and he rebukes the wind and he tells the sea, peace be still. And immediately, the waves cease and the wind stops. That's a transforming moment. And you know, maybe there are moments like that where Christ wants to rebuke the fear in the ugliness and the worry in our own hearts and instead bring peace to us. And church, I believe that can be as powerful as what the disciples saw. And for some of us, this is an opportunity for us to see Christ at his best. I love when God leads me through really good and easy times. I do. I love it. But I notice I rarely grow as much. I don't really enjoy when God leads me through storms, but I do enjoy who I become and how I see him differently. You with me on this? And that's the blessings of him. That's the opportunity for us. And the storms, we learn to ask different questions. The disciples asked Jesus, Jesus, don't you care? We're perishing. But notice what Jesus asked them. Why are you so afraid? You still have no faith? And if I could just put what Jesus is saying in a very simple way to us this morning, I think he's saying, do you think I'm going to fail you? Haven't I shown you that you can trust me? And church, I know we all maybe come from different faith backgrounds and have different times and experiences with God, but in my life, when I hear that question posed to me, I'm like, oh yeah, you've never failed me. Have I failed God? Oh yeah. I could preach all morning to you about that, all afternoon, all evening, and the next 3 weeks. How long you got? I can talk all about how I failed God, but I cannot tell you about how God's failed me. I can't do it. I don't know of a time. I know of a time where I've made life way harder for myself than it has to be. I know of times where I've turned my back on him and I've forsaken him. I know of all kinds of times where I made the wrong decision and I knew it, but I didn't really care. And then God cleaned up the mess. But I can't tell you a time where I've looked to Christ for help and he's let me down. And so I want to challenge you today. What question will we fixate on during this time? Will it be the question of, God, don't you care what's going on? This struggle's happening. Or could we fixate on the question of, do you think he's going to fail you? Do you think he's going to let you and me down? Because he never has, and he never will. So here's my challenge. Let's go through this storm, and whatever is ahead, let's go through it looking to Christ with expectation that he's going to help us. Because here's what we tend to do. We go in storms with expectation that we're going to die. We go into storms with expectation that the roof is going to collapse. And I'm not saying that there's not things to be concerned about and all that sort of thing. Jesus isn't telling us to put our heads in the sand. But he is saying, at the end of the day, I got you. I'm not going to fail you. Even the winds and seas obey him. Even the coronavirus obeys him. Even the molecules and the atoms and the bacteria on your body obeys his voice, his word. I can't get my one-year-old baby to obey my voice at all. I said, baby, it's okay. And I use a lot of words. It's more than just a couple phrases. And she cries and she throws things and no hope. But Christ controls all the chaos that you could ever know in this world with as few words as he wants to. Because that's how powerful he is. And that's your God, church. That's your God. He's alive. He reigns at the right hand of the Father. Nothing is too hard for him. And here's the last thing I want to say to you. That here's how I know he will always come to your aid. You might think, well, Chet, that's all good, but like, I don't know if God's really going to help me because I don't always really do the right things. I don't always go to church. I don't always pray. Whatever your reason why you don't think God is going to help you, I'm going to give you a better reason why I know he's going to. Did you hear that? Those in Bangladesh, did you hear that? Whatever reason you think God will fail you, I have a greater reason that he won't. You ready? Here's the reason. Jesus Christ faced the ultimate storm for you and me. It was the storm of the cross. It was the storm of divine judgment. It's the storm, church, that can actually destroy you. It's the storm of separation from God. It's the storm of you and I having to stand before a holy and majestic and perfect God and answer for all our failures and mistakes and shortcomings and brokenness. That's the storm that could actually destroy you. It's the storm that can destroy you in this life, and it's the storm that can destroy you in the next life. But here's what you need to know today. Jesus Christ faced that storm alone. No one came to his rescue. Coast Guard didn't come. Calvary didn't come. He faced that storm completely alone, and he overcame it. He overcame it. It did not destroy him, but as he faced that storm, he actually destroyed the storm itself. Sin and death and evil, the things that are a real threat to your life, whether you know it or not, those things he once and for all defeated on the cross. And he did it for you. He didn't do it because you asked him to. He didn't do it because you deserve it. He didn't do it because you're somehow going to become worthy of it by living a life devoted to him. He didn't do it for any of those reasons other than to glorify himself and because he loves you. And guess what? If he faced and defeated that ultimate storm, you better believe he will help you in every other lesser storm in your life. You couldn't ask him to face a bigger storm. And he did it willingly. And now as your life and my life is connected to his, we can have absolute confidence that he'll be with us in all these smaller storms. That he'll guide us. That he'll be good to us. that he'll love us, that he'll meet our needs, that he'll direct us, that he won't fail us or forsake us. And let's pray and let's ask for his help this morning. Heavenly Father, we do declare, Lord, that you are Lord of the storm. You're Lord of the storm that we face, Father, as a community, as a church, as a nation. And Father, we just humbly call on you for help. Father, all of us are maybe struggling at different levels. For some of us, not much has changed. But Father, maybe it's changed for those we love, for friends, for people we work with. We pray that we could be a beacon of hope, a beacon of strength, not in ourselves, but strength that comes from you. For those of us, Lord, who maybe feel this in a more visceral, in a personal way, Father, we pray that we could see that you are Lord of this storm, and you could speak peace into our hearts. You could rebuke our worry and our panic. Father, I pray we would all be wise, but I pray we would be wise and not afraid. We would be thoughtful, but not panicked. Father, we would be discerning, but we would be filled with hope and courage. And we pray it would come from you, and it would glorify your great and holy name. Bless our church. Bless our communities. Help us to be the church during this time to each other and to all those that we can. And we pray your great name would be glorified in all this. And we could see you and stand back and say, who is this God that even all these crazy events obey his word? And we could glorify you for it. We ask this in the great name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.